Amen. How's everybody today? Good? All right. Good. Praise the Lord. Let's get into it. Kenosis. Great question, but that's really the answer. He emptied himself of the divine privileges and to use his divine power. And he did everything according to the Spirit. So today, as we get into the prophecy update, this is the part of our study where we talk about current events and connect them to biblical prophecies. We start with the Bible, we see the world at large, and we say, what is going on and what makes sense of it? Now, what's interesting is large parts of the body of Christ, large parts of churches have abandoned the idea, the understanding that the Bible is both future and past in a sense of there are prophecies that have been fulfilled and there are prophecies that will be fulfilled. Now, as believers, we understand that there is a dual effect. There are prophecies that relate to the past that did happen. And some of the same prophecies relate to the future at the same time. Some people have addressed that as the near and far fulfillment, meaning there was a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment, which is true. There are those concepts in the Bible. But for the most part, we believe that about maybe about 20% more of biblical prophecy is ready to be fulfilled, meaning that there's been a large portion that has been fulfilled already, Old Testament, New Testament, by the coming of Jesus, but the last portion of it, it's all related to the coming of Jesus. In fact, it's overwhelmingly that the majority of the prophecies that have not happened have to deal with one event. Jesus is coming. Okay? So out of all the prophecies that are unfulfilled yet, the majority have to do with this coming event. Right? The other prophecies have to do with things relating to his event, but for the most part, it is related to that event, that harpazo, that coming of Jesus for his church. So when we look at the Bible, we look at it that way. There are things that happen, but things that need to happen. There are some Christians, some believers, who will say, no, there is nothing to be fulfilled. You are a prophet. You are a prophet. Thank you, brother. He knew I needed a coffee break. The fact that some would believe that everything has been fulfilled, and they actually give you a date, 70 AD, and that's called preterism. Preterism, just a fancy Latin word to saying it happened. Preterism. So all the prophecies in the Bible are fulfilled, 70 AD. I don't subscribe to that, politely, because there are things that have not happened that the Bible says need to happen. And one of them, it's very easy to say, Jesus has to separate the sheep from the goats. It didn't happen in 70 AD. Did Jesus give his eternal reward to the believers in 70 AD? Nope, it did not happen. So there are things that you could right away off the bat say, you know, preterism, as maybe some wonderful people that believe that, is incorrect. It has some truth to it in the fact that, yes, 70 AD, some things did happen to Israel, the surrounding of Jerusalem, the coming of the Roman Empire, the destruction of Jerusalem, not one stone will be left upon another, what Jesus prophesied. Absolutely true. When a prophecy has been fulfilled, it has a picture or a illustration of something of the future. There are certain passages in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13 that did happen in 70 AD, the destruction of Jerusalem. And when you read it, you have this sort of feeling like, is this going to happen again? And if that is you, you're absolutely right. Because 70 AD illustrates something that will be coming. There will be a siege in Jerusalem. There will be a surrounding of Jerusalem again. There will be an abomination of desolation, which happened in 70 AD in part due to the Romans setting up pagan idols in the temple. And Christians knew this, or at least they called it, this is the abomination of desolation. In fact, when you read the history, this is important history. When the Romans came into Jerusalem, they didn't go into Jerusalem right away. They sort of stayed back and for some reason retreated. And they didn't know why, but they had all these pagan artifacts with them, idols and temple artifacts for their worship. And they, Christians in Jerusalem, knew they're bringing in pagan idols. They're bringing in idolatry. And they said, this is the abomination of desolation. And they, when they saw it, they headed out. And they went to a place called Pelah, P-E-L-A-H, near Jerusalem. And they were led out by the early church. The church in Jerusalem was led out by the Christians there, by the Christian pastors. In fact, one of them was related to Jesus. And he took the believers out of there because they knew something was coming. Within days, 14, so like a couple of weeks, the Roman Empire came back to the siege, entered Jerusalem, slaughtered millions, 8 million Jews, and led to the battle in Masada and all the stuff. But what's interesting, when the Christians were coming out of Jerusalem, there were many Jews coming into Jerusalem because they said, this is God's city. Nothing bad's going to happen to us. See the Romans retreating? God's given us the victory. And they felt safe in Jerusalem. Oh, if they only would have heard Jesus. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stoned the prophets and killed those who are sent to you. How much would I wanted to gather to you like a hen gathers its chicks, but you were not willing. From this point forward, they'll come at you and they'll surround you and bank you on every side and overthrow you. But then Jesus said, but you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's like the big downer. You're going to be destroyed. But if you call upon me, and you will, because I'll come back, you'll see me again. And that is the hope that has not happened yet. Jesus has not appeared in the sky yet, as we were told. But some things Jesus said before that event will happen. You will know that I'm at the door. You'll know that I'm near when you see certain things happen. And one of the things that it's ravaging throughout the world, but I wanted to bring you this picture because you can relate to it. Southern California, 700 earthquakes had hit California, some minor, some smaller, some, you know, the Richter scale that are basically negligible, but 700 nonetheless. Scientists are concerned. Oh, Pastor, come on. This is, you know, my grandma used to tell me about this. And your grandma probably lived through some earthquakes. Northridge, right? Remember that one? All right. Some big ones. Up north, San Francisco. But everybody's concerned about the big one. Well, I'm not saying the big one will be prophecy fulfillment, but Jesus did say, one of the signs you'll know, Matthew 24, is that there'll be earthquakes and famines, and there will be pestilence. And these things are only going to be the beginning of pain, the beginning of childbirth or beginnings of birth pangs. 700 earthquakes, Southern California earthquake swarm takes unexpected turns, and there's reasons to worry. Now, this is from the San Diego Tribune. San Diego Tribune is concerned. You can read the article on your own if you like. A swarm of earthquakes. It got our attention, he says. More than 700 earthquakes. And then this is the article, including the Fontana seismic zone over the past few weeks. That's not too far from here. There have been more than 700 earthquakes recorded in Fontana since May 25th. Some as low as 0.7 to as high as 3. But what they tell us is that it's drawing enough interest from seismologists to know that Caltech is concerned, so much so that they have issued out warnings to make sure that you are not caught unaware. Because it is not just California, but it's a whole ring of fire from the South America all the way through North America, up through Alaska, down to Japan. It has been shaking. That was it Peru or Chile that had it last month, a big one, 8.0? Peru 8.0. It's in the same seismic activity, same seismic area. It's a tectonic plates going haywire. We'll know that these things are happening. We'll know that Jesus said these things will happen. He told us they will, and will be a sign. The frequency and intensity will be a sign of the last days. So very interesting. Another sign of the last days will be what we will say, a persecution of believers. We'll talk about persecution at the end, I hope. But we have found, this is, you can find it on your own, I'm not going to talk too much about it, but what we've always expected is that within the social media groups and within Google and within Facebook and other tech giants, there has been an absolute avalanche of finding things regarding what they think of Christians. You will be surprised. I hope you're not, but you would be shocked, I should say, of what they really think of you in Google and Facebook and things like that. That's what this, the purge that's been happening within those companies. In fact, more are going to be found out because there's an anti-discrimination lawsuit against Google. Actually, Facebook had a big drop on their stock today. It went crazy. How much was it? 2%. That's a lot of millions. Because of more information that's coming out that they knew, even Mark Zuckerberg knew, that this was done. This was purposely targeting Christians, not allowing to post, share, First Amendment things. In fact, even if you like this company, even Pinterest. Now, what Pinterest did is really interesting. Christian websites, conservative websites, pro-life websites, which are sometimes Christians, were all, they were put under a tag of pornography. So they were put under pornography tags, and they were not visible because obviously there's pornographic filters. So websites like LifeSite News, Christian websites promoting life, pro-life, were not visible for quite a number of months. They don't know how far this goes back to because they were labeled pornography. Ms. Rosemary, you had a question? No, okay. Even the website Zero Hedge, which is a pretty good website to find news that are not on the mainstream news, was even targeted, other religious website as well. So there's obviously an ongoing thing against Christians in this nation. We'll find out more. This is just the tip of the iceberg, as you'll know. The New York Times, this is an interesting group, New York Times reported, now the article is really good, you should read it. The article was, who are the most, among women, who are the happiest? You know, because there's a large number of women in society who are claiming they're not happy. They're not happy with their men, they're not happy with society, they're not happy they don't have a man, they're happy they do have a man, I don't know. It's just an unhappiness. And they did a research and they said, well, who are the happiest then? Christian women are the happiest. Well, the New York Times reported it. Yeah. I don't know, I don't feel like that. But that's what the report said. Whether you agree with it or not is a different story. What they did is they were outraged. The left Democratic lunacy went ballistic at the fact that the New York Times, which is a liberal organization, liberal newspaper, was praising Christian women that they were the happiest, they were the most fulfilled. Why were they the most fulfilled? They had raised children, they had faithful husbands, they were living a faithful life, and they had this inner peace, is what the survey said. And so it went crazy. And why do they go so crazy after something you would say, well, I'm glad women are happy. Aren't you glad women are happy? You know, that would be the thing in society. If you're looking for happiness, no, we don't want them to find it in Jesus. We don't want them to find it in God. We want them to find it in abortion. That's where they should be happy. And because the survey did not show that, outrage. By the way, I will keep talking about this for some time. The growing of the normalization of Satanism in our society. I couldn't tell you the amount of programming that is coming this fall through Netflix and Warner Brothers and Fox. And you thought the show Lucifer was pretty bad. There'll be more that will eclipse that this coming fall. But this is one particular one, and it's a clothing brand that's been growing for quite a bit. If you've been to Hot Topic or the mall, you will see this brand, Black Craft Cult. I couldn't bring the commercial. I didn't want to desecrate a Christian service. But obviously, you could tell what kind of clientele they target, young people. It's based out of Anaheim. And it's a growing, I mean, it is in-your-face satanic. It is not, you know, it's not the Hot Topic I used to go to. I never liked that stuff. But you go to the mall and you go to the store to find out what they are all about. It's nothing compared. I mean, this stuff would have freaked me out back then because at least I knew there was evil and there was good. Now kids wear it like if it's good, unholy. It's one of their shirts. What's the other one? Unholy, ungodly. Everything that you could see in the Bible about what not to do, it's presented as pride, arrogance. By the way, speaking of pride, this lovely man, Mr. Joe Biden. Yeah. I prayed for him this morning, even though I disagree with everything he says. Joe Biden says, you know, if you elect me president, you know what I'm going to make, the first priority I'm going to make? The Middle East? Nope. Economy? Nope. I'm going to make LGBTQ the law of the land. I'm going to make that my legislative priority. Well, that might be the second thing. Now, I didn't know that we had such an LGBTQ discrimination problem in America. I actually think they probably have more rights than a lot of people in terms of advantages and things like that. But this is a top priority, meaning the Equality Act. That's what he was referring to as the Equality Act. He's not saying, now they make it sound like, my goodness, there's lynch mobs looking for homosexual people out in California and they're lynching everybody that they find. They make it sound like that. What he's referring to is there's not enough of you agreeing with it. And we're going to make sure you agree with it. There's not enough sports teams doing gay night and gay parades and things like that. We'll make sure it's the law of the land. There's not enough pastors who allow homosexuality in their church. We're going to make sure it happens. That's the Equality Act. Which is not going to happen in the Senate. It's not going to pass in the Senate. And it's not going to pass in, at least hope, through the president's desk. But it is to say that the next one, maybe if it's 2020 or 2024, may have different plans. By the way, this happened for all the world to see. Storm Chaser in Canada proposed, in Kansas proposes to his boyfriend on camera chasing the storm. And I thought it was the most... I'm not making fun of it. It was the most telling thing that I've ever saw. What's behind the thing there? It's a storm. It's a tornado that's coming to sweep that area. And I thought, what a picture. What a picture of America. What a picture of society. This was put on Drudge. This was put in a lot of places. Like, yay, great. You know, look at this guy. He's proposing to his love of his life. And behind it, nobody noticed the storm that's heading that way. Nobody noticed the coming judgment that may be happening because of the acceptance and the elevation of it. Well, that's for you to decide, right? But I thought it was telltale, a very telling sign. Yes. Yeah. For pride stuff. It's Pride Month, yeah, June. It used to be June was wedding month. We used to do weddings in June. My anniversary is in June. I'm not talking about me, but they just like took June and destroyed it. It used to be the most great month for weddings. Now it's different kinds of weddings, but anyway, the picture tells 1,000 words. The entire nation, I think, could see the connection. I saw it and I said, "Oh Lord, how fitting." I don't want it to happen, Lord, but this is what's coming if we keep poking your eye. By the way, I recommend to read this article. It's called The New Barbarism. The New Barbarism, it's regarding the left, extreme left, anti-Christian, pro-Muslim, pro-LGBTQ provisions that are coming. The anti-pro-life movement that is growing. It's called The New Barbarism. And one of the things the article points out, and this is coming to America, and we need to be as Christians, be aware of it. They're going to go after a few things. The article tells you more, but you can read on your own. The Supreme Court, one of their number one targets, they're already started doing it, collecting a lot of money in Iowa and places like that to try to get the next, to try to make sure the Democrats get the next appointee. For some reason or another, God has made sure that Ginsburg's still here. I don't know what's holding that woman up, but she's still here. At the same time, that could be the next one. Now, it could be any one of them. They're older. But that was, they thought it was going to be the next one. They thought she was going to pass away. I don't wish death upon her. I wish repentance upon her. But she's been one of the most destructive forces in America. Nobody talks about. And there's a movie about her. What's it called? Is it called Ginsburg? How simple is that, right? It's a movie. There's an HBO special about her. Does anyone know where Ginsburg came from? What was her first job? Does anybody know? She was a member of the ACLU. She was a lawyer for the ACLU. She made sure there was no prayer in school. And she made sure that God was removed from, well, eventually happened in the 80s, from the courthouses. No, Ginsburg might have been Clinton. Might have been Clinton. Yeah. Somebody can correct me on that, but I think it's Clinton. If it's Bush, I'm not surprised. But anyway, higher education. Higher education, meaning that colleges, if it's not bad enough as it is, you send your kid out to college, they come back, hopefully they come back as your kid and come back as another person, not mentally, but physically sometimes. A father sends his daughter out to college and he gets, a boy back. And what happened to you? Gender reassignment in college. But that's one thing. Higher education, they're going after it in such degree that it'll be a complete waste of money and time sending your kids to some of these schools. It will be unless they're going for the hard science, chemistry, math, engineering, something like that. If they go for these, social studies and gender studies, forget it. Oh, man. The Second Amendment. Second Amendment, right on their scope. No pun intended. First Amendment, right on their scope. Those two, the Electoral College. The Electoral College. Why the Electoral College? Well, if you know how it works, if you take it away, now you simply could dominate by the largest dense population in America. And where are they? Yeah, you live in one of them, and it's not so good. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, Islam. Keep raising up Islam. And you'll see in a moment how hypocritical this is. I'm going to switch gears very quickly to the church. This is in Sweden. In Sweden, the Swedish bishop, Eva Brun, who's a lesbian, she's the bishop of Stockholm, says, you know what? I have more in common with Islam than with Christians. I have more in common with Islam than with Christians. And my answer was, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Except for, I don't think Islam will have any to do with you. Yeah, she was instrumental in taking away crosses at churches in Sweden and replacing them with rooms of faith or rooms of prayer, like they have the hotels and airports, removing so make Muslims more comfortable. And of course, she's leading the charge in allocating Muslim prayers in churches in Sweden. So Sweden is a mess. We talked about Stockholm here, and the Stockholm syndrome is truly quite alive and well there. And she is telling the truth, by the way. She's more common with Muslims than the Word of God. And it's a delusion, because Islam will have nothing to do with her. By the way, here in our nation, this is no surprise, but the United Church of Christ, who has been gay-affirming for quite some time, has now made their cathedrals rented out as like libraries, so that you can go into one of their cathedrals and rent it out as libraries, and they could have drag queen stories. So isn't that nice? You can have your kids and your summer school program at a church, and it'll be like a reading time, and that would be drag queen story. Now, I'm glad Brother Tony sent this to me. Play a video. This is an Anglican ordained minister explaining to Christians why she doesn't believe the Bible. Weird. An Anglican minister who believes the Bible's not to be trusted. And I could show you the 20-minute one, but there is some foul language in the 20-minute one because they're cussing at the Christians. They didn't bleep it out. So don't go in there thinking, oh, there's nothing in there. Just beware. But I'm not going to show that part of the clip. I'm only going to show the part of the clip where the Anglican ministers trying to tell Christians why she doesn't believe in homosexuality being wrong, and actually Romans 1 is wrong. And there's a worse sin than homosexuality. So here's the Anglican minister.
Actually, Romans chapter 1 is quite complicated.
Can we just take the Bible out so that we can actually...
Yes. You're going to be reading a translation, right? Do you read Koine Greek? Because I actually do read Koine Greek.
Okay, so what does it say in the Greek?
You can read any translation.
No, this is important. Yeah.
What does it say in Greek?
Which passage?
Romans chapter 1, where it says that... I would say the second half of the chapter.
Yeah, the second half of Romans chapter 1 is actually a very complicated point of interpretation because Paul appears to be speaking in quotation marks here and primarily speaking about Roman customs as opposed to Jewish customs. What he's addressing may be temple prostitution. Certainly some of what he's addressing is heterosexuals engaging in non-reproductive sex practices. He certainly had issues with that. Paul did not have the same understanding of sexual orientation or committed same-sex partnerships that we do. On the other hand, most of the passages which are taken as a condemnation of homosexuality are based on disputable translations of words which are often hapax legomena, and whose understanding we can't fully translate with accuracy.
Can I ask you a question? Do you support the month of June's celebration of gay pride?
I do. I have seen in the lives of same-sex couples, which I know, the fruits of the spirit. I have seen loyalty, I have seen sacrificial love, I have seen Christian lives much better than my own, and I believe that, as with Peter and the Gentiles, when I witness the fruits of the Spirit in the lives of committed same-sex partners, many of whom are Christians, then I respect that as demonstrating an extension of how we have understood the gospel, as widening our understanding of what is included.
Do you support gay pride parades?
Yes, I attend.
Okay,
I march
on the pride
parade.
Yeah, one second.
Yes.
So what about when people come out here and they have these parades, do you not witness the other unspeakable acts of debauchery, drunkenness, celebration of wickedness? There's all kinds. It's not just even a celebration of gay pride.
You're having much more fun at Pride than I am, I think.
No, I'm not even going to Pride, but I've seen the videos of just people dressed in very lewd ways, and they're dressing their children up and celebrating this lewdness.
A small number of people are lightly dressed. I am not particularly concerned about that. It's a particular context. The majority of people at the Pride Parade are just wearing ordinary.
Do you believe our bodies
clothes
are temples of the Holy Spirit, and that we're supposed to keep our bodies holy as God is holy?
Yes, I think I have a different interpretation of what it means to keep your body holy.
Keeping our body holy. Will you share that with us?
Acting with love, with integrity, with service to the poor, with loyalty, with all of these things.
Okay, but what about the sin that we commit with our bodies against God?
I think the worst sin we commit with our bodies against God right now is our indulgence of our appetite for fossil fuels, which is destroying the planet. I think putting your body in a car and going, I'm going to drive my car, is a way worse sin than any sexual practice.
She's in Canada. She's near Toronto, Canada. But this is the same city that just put in prison a Christian that was sharing with the homosexual community. What's that? She's a female. She's a female Anglican minister. There are so many things wrong with what she says, but the thing is, if the church is confused, the world's going to be confused. And this is anyway, so many things wrong about Romans 1. We won't have time to get into all the details. Look, I don't claim to know a lot of things, but that Romans 1 has been studied, has been developed, has been part of the Christian theological framework for centuries. But it's really within the last 125 years in this country, due to the German Enlightenment and what happened in Germany prior to Hitler, that these things have changed. And now it's more of a liberal interpretation of it. But you could see how messed up the interpretation. He kept saying, my interpretation is different. My interpretation is different. Because she has to agree what it says. It does say what it says in Greek. But how she interprets it. It was just, Netflix is continuing doing the same thing. This is all through the month of June in Netflix. Happy Pride for our kids. This is a horror story. I'm not going to spend too much time because we got to get through it. LGBT parents have been physically removing genital parts from their kids. And this happened in Brazil. Two lesbians were raising a little boy. The father's been trying to get to the little boy for about a year. They removed his male organ. And unfortunately, it was done in such a horrible way at home, it looked like, that this little boy, he was 9 years old, had to wear, they had to cover it up, and it was just so badly done. They stabbed him to death on May 31st, the mom and the girlfriend. They stabbed him to death because the surgery was botched. And so the little boy couldn't become a little girl. It was just a botched surgery, and they held it against the little boy. No, it's one of the mom. It was a physical, the biological mom was one of the ladies there. This is in Brazil, but people told me, they said, "Oh, Pastor, really? Parents are going to start doing that?" Yes, they are. They've been doing it. Remember the Nulos that I showed you last time? The teenagers that are trying to be basically coming out, neither male nor female, and just want to be genderless. Well, it's happening to babies. It's happening to this is a 9 year old. They want genderless babies. They want genderless kids. Netflix continues to, again, Dancing Queen, second season, has just been picked up, and they're going to be shown all over Netflix this coming summer and fall. The new Dancing Queen glorifies the sexualization of children. By the way, regarding the gender flag, I don't know if you guys, the gay flag, Mike Pence took a lot of heat this week because he told they were trying to push the gay flag, the pride flag, on the embassies. And Pence said no. And he got an attack, a tremendous attack against them because he says there's only one flag that should be flying on our embassies, and that's the American flag, not any other flag. And, of course, the LGBT community up in arms about it. Another war that is happening in our midst. So we have the days of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah, the rising up of militant homosexuality in our world. But we also have the destruction of the image of God on the earth. There'll be this violence on the earth, just like the days of Noah. Jesus said, just like the days of Noah, it'll be like the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The days of Noah were filled with violence. Everybody did whatever was in their hearts to do against God. Illinois, the governor just signed an extreme law. It goes beyond New York regarding babies. It took away the ban of partial birth abortion, and it's called the Reproductive Health Act. It codifies that abortion is a fundamental right for women, fundamental right. The fertilized egg or embryo or fetus does not have independent right from the mom. The mom can do whatever she wants with that baby because the baby has no rights. In fact, Hillary Clinton said that 3 years ago, 4 years ago. 4 years ago, nobody paid attention to it because they asked her, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, "I am a Christian. But what do you think about abortion?" "I believe women have the right to abort." "What about the baby?" "I don't believe the baby has constitutional rights." So where was the first question again? "Are you a Christian?" Right? Now, this is now coming into full fruition. Illinois passed it last week, the Senate. It is now, was in the desk of the governor, and he has just recently signed it. By the way, 180 companies, I was surprised, declaring the new laws in Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, Ohio, soon to be Louisiana, Arkansas, that those are bad for business. 180 companies, including Twitter and other makeup companies and women's companies, bad for business because, we need abortion to continue, and because that's good for business. I couldn't understand the connection, but then again, I understand a lot of things that they do. Now, this is a crazy article, but in Australia, it's not only here, but in Australia, academic arguments. So this is basically doctors with philosophers and sort of ethics professors get together, and they talk about what's moral and what's not. And they say, well, it is morally right, or it's morally good, that a mother should be able to kill their newborn. It is morally right, because we don't want to take the right of the parent away to do something to their kid. So we want parents' rights, so we are empowering women to do what is right and giving them the choice. Now, what the women does is that we don't really care. It's not moral. It's only moral to give them that right. What they do, it's not moral. It's amoral, basically. They don't really consider anything to do with moral. Now, this is academics. This is ethics. This is the new warp society, not just in America, but in Australia. By the way, California, considering crazy leaders, it is completing, it's not completed yet, but it is being completed, a resolution to blame Israel for anti-Semitic acts in the world. Blame Israel for anti-Semitic act, meaning this: a synagogue gets shot up in Pittsburgh. That's the Jews' fault. Why? Because they're inciting hatred that is performed by the white supremacists, but it's the Jewish fault for inciting that hatred, and then they go and kill them. No joke. And California says, anti-Semitism, it is the Jewish fault. It's not the KKK fault. It's not the radical group's fault. It's not Islam's fault. It is the Jewish fault for inciting hatred. It's like, did you watch when Pastor David Lind was arrested in Toronto for preaching the gospel? What did they arrest him for? That's right. But he wasn't acting against anybody. He was just saying, look, Jesus loves you. We want to tell you this. The Bible says. He was actually very, I've seen Christians that have been obnoxious. And I get why they kicked out of malls sometimes. He was not. He was very kind, extremely patient. And he was the hateful one when everybody else wanted to beat him up. It's almost the exact same thing. It's your fault. You're inciting hatred. Well, he's saying, why am I, David, it's like, why am I doing, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? You're disturbing the peace. Well, they're the ones who are trying to attack me. Doesn't matter. You're the one at fault. Well, yes, sir. They're the one. Yes, their own people. Their hate. They're filled with their hatred for their own people. I'll show you a video at the end. Bernie Sanders against Israel. A Jewish guy against Israel. Israel should not have the Golan Heights. There is some California Democrats who are liberal Jews who are saying, stop this nonsense. We're against this anti-Israel resolutions. We need you to stop this. So there is a fight back within the Democratic Party, which is only going to be a very temporary fight because they're just going to push those people out of there. Wars and rumors of war. China is ready. China is revving its engines against the U.S. Don't fall asleep on China. I know the focus has been Iran and the Middle East. China, Xi Jinping just had a meeting with Putin. I don't know if you watched the interview. It's fantastic. I wish I would have brought it, but it was too long. It was shown on RT News, and they're discussing how the Middle East is unstable, so they need to stabilize it. Israel is a mess, which they were right about that, with what happened with the elections and the Knesset, and the U.S. is a mess, and we're not united. Perfect time to strike, because they see that the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, there's such a rift in abortion, rift in pro-life movements, abortion movements, homosexuality. Nobody respects the president. They're saying, it's time. It may be time to do something. China's coming. Big problems in Turkey. And I don't know where this is going, but there's a new election coming, and the dictator of Turkey, Erdogan, could be ousted. He could remain in power. He can consolidate more power, which he's done in the past. But Turkey is one of the nations mentioned in the biblical prophecy of Ezekiel. So is Russia. That's not Russia, but they're part of the connection with China. I believe China is more of the kings of the east of Revelation. But Turkey's in a big problem right now. By the way, one of the problems that they have and what they're discussing, young religious Turks, they call them. Young religious Turk is a big problem for Turkey. And you look up what they're trying to say. Christians. Young men and women, university age, who are becoming Christians, are becoming a problem for the Turkish government. Now, They have said this before, but now they're growing and largely underground. But remember Pastor Brunson. Thank you, Andrew Brunson. We'll have a picture of him later, warning even our country of what he went through in Turkey. Saudi Arabia just got attacked today, one of the airports, by the Iranian-sponsored Houthi group. It's right before this meeting that's coming up in 2 weeks in Bahrain about the Middle East and the peace agreement and what to do. I think Iran is getting anxious because if you read the article, and I, by the way, any of these articles that you want, I can send them to you. You can read them on your own. The most ballistic missiles in the Arab world, Iran, not Arabs, but the Muslim world, Iran, and they're ready to use them. This is no joke. This is a big threat. In fact, our top U.S. commander said this is a very real threat. We're not to undermine Iran because of their proxy, the way they use proxy wars. They attack through other people. Speaking of the peace agreement, June 25th and 26th, we have to be praying now, but it's coming. In Bahrain, they are going to meet and unveil the peace agreement. Palestine is not going to show up. They already said we're boycotting it. Egypt is going. Jordan is waiting. I don't know if they're coming yet. Israel hasn't been officially invited yet, which is kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? Yeah. And you know why? It's a mess. It is such a mess. The Knesset, it's a mess. Re-elections coming up. And the war between the religious Jews and the secular Jews, it's an unbelievable mess. They don't know if they could resolve it anytime soon. In fact, one of the major problems in the Knesset, which is like their Congress, was the fact that religious Jews wanted more rights, and they're outnumbering the secular Jews because the secular Jews are aborting their babies. The Orthodox Jews are having tons of babies, and soon they'll outnumber the amount of Jews in the land, and guess what they're going to vote? More religious rights. More toward the religious benefit, the religious Jews, which, by the way, you think, oh, that's great, isn't it? No, they're very anti-Christian. They're very anti-anyone who's not a Orthodox Jew. They don't even like other Jews. And they're very anti-missionary. They persecute Christians. This is the group that John Hagee loves so much. I want to tell John Hagee, stop giving him money. But this is the group that is trying to control the Knesset. And they're trying to tell secular Jews what not to do. But this is why, even I think June 25th, 26th is going to come, the peace agreement is going to roll out, and it's going to be a big dud. My opinion. We were praying here a month and a half ago saying, you know, anything could happen. And then Netanyahu got elected, and within, what, he had 40 days, 42 days to get it right, get his Knesset, get his group together, get his coalition. He couldn't do it. It broke up. It is so bad. We even pray, Lord, unite them in Jesus. That's the only way the Jews ever going to be united. It's only in Christ. Let's finish off with some of this stuff. More attacks coming from Syria. Hezbollah has more attacks coming from the north into Israel. By the way, the Israeli Defense Forces is trying to intercept many rockets that are coming from Gaza. Rockets are coming from the north. Finally, done with this. Chinese Christians, we'll show a video very quickly. Chinese Christians are telling other Christians, memorize your Bible. Memorize your Bible. Keep it in your heart. We're doing that. The government can't take that away. We have to do that. That's what the Christians in China are saying. They've taken our Bibles. You'll see in a moment. We have to memorize them. We're doing that. Some of them is too late because largely they've been taken away and replaced with other translations, if you know what I mean. Telling Christians all over the world, memorize your Bible, keep it in your heart. The government won't be able to take it away. Jack Phillips, the baker from Colorado, third lawsuit. And we need to pray for this man. Unbelievable tenacity, staying faithful to the Lord. Pastor Brunson, there it is, just recently spoke at a conference, Christian conference. He was in prison in Turkey he's been in Turkey for many years. He was in prison for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. This is his statement, word for word. Youth, to the youth, you are not prepared to what is for what is coming. You're not prepared for what is coming. This is Christian persecution. This is, I lived it. I lived it in Turkey. They came after my family. They came after me. For 2 years, he says, I was almost borderline suicidal because of the imprisonment and the beatings and some of the things that they did to him. He says, I found forgiveness in Christ for my enemies, and I was freed by the grace of God. But for some reason, I made it through. There were days where it was really hard. He says, I don't know if Christians in America are going to be ready to handle what is coming. So in his words, you see it in Canada. This is Pastor David Lynn, who was very much, very openly sharing the gospel, very kindly sharing the gospel. This is Christ Forgiveness Ministries. It's a ministry that he's a street preacher and reaches out to the homosexual community. Toronto, Canada. Same week that David Lynn was arrested, they had a festival, Al-Quds Festival in Toronto. The Al-Quds Festival is by Islam. Listen to this. Same city.
If you're Jewish, I don't understand why you'd get in cahoots with the people that want to kill you. What would happen to a gay couple in Gaza?
Executed according to Islamic law. Islam doesn't endorse gays. Islam doesn't endorse homosexuality.
Okay, so would you like to see Sharia law in Canada replace Canadian law?
At some point it will. You know, because we have families, we are making babies. You're not.
Donald Trump is a goof. He's the biggest goof on earth.
Oh, why is that, sir?
Because he doesn't know nothing about nothing.
Well, isn't this special? The annual hate fest known as Al-Quds Day is off and running in Toronto yet again, even though the city of Toronto said it wasn't going to tolerate hate speech on its property. Indeed, folks, last month a series of motions were approved by council in conjunction with the Toronto Police. If protesters occupy city property without a permit, the city will issue trespass warnings and seek reimbursement for policing costs. Well, guess what? This group does not have a permit, and this group is most certainly not paying the cost of policing. It really is a double standard at play here, isn't it? I mean, if this was any other group, it would seem, the police would crack down, the city would enforce its own bylaws, but apparently, because it's radical Islam, they dare not lift a finger.
So if you're a Christian in Toronto trying to share with the homosexual community, you go to prison. If you're a Muslim that wants to kill homosexuals, you get to parade around even with Jewish people, and you don't have to pay a dime. What a world. What a craziness. Toronto, Canada. What's that? Yeah. I'll leave you with this, and we'll pray after this video. This is a great video. It's 20 minutes long. You should watch it. If you want it, I'll send it to you. It's done by one of the production companies within YouTube. It's a ministry. And it's relating what's going on in China with Chinese believers, what they're going through, and some commentary. It's 5 minutes long. If you bear with it, you'll be blessed. We'll pray right after the video.
You get throngs of worshippers coming here. It was one of the biggest underground churches in China. And now there's not much left to see. We tried to go in. They said, well, there's nothing here. Then we said what we wanted to see. They said the police have shut it down. And in any case, the lift isn't stopping at the third floor. There's no trace left. And that's what people practicing Christianity in China fear. They'll simply be scrubbed from existence.
Now, one reason why I loved your book and I read it in a weekend, and it speaks to me even as an agnostic, is that I see in what you're describing also, it's a metaphor for the attack on Western civilization, which Christianity is a large part.
China is officially an atheist state, with freedom of religion guaranteed in the constitution. State-sanctioned churches do exist, but the power and glory belongs to the party. It keeps tight control. Worshippers are registered, CCTV cameras fitted, and the Bible is even being retranslated by the government to ensure what they call correct understanding. But unofficial churches were tolerated until recently. Police closed this one by force in Chengdu, southwest China, in December last year. This Beijing church was also shut down in another raid last year after its leaders refused to install CCTV cameras.
Is the Christian church, or Christianity more broadly really, under attack, do you think, in the West?
It's not only under attack, it's losing the battle. Christianity has been fighting for its life for some decades, certainly since the 1960s. But now I think we have crossed a threshold into which the faith is rapidly falling back. And we Christians, I'm a practicing Christian, we aren't ready for what's happening. A lot of us still want to believe that we live in a Christian civilization. In fact, we're a post-Christian civilization, and that doesn't mean we should surrender to it.
It's a big mystery. Why? I think you can say that secularism has seen Christianity as its enemy for a long time. I think globalists, they actually, and that's not something we talk about a lot in the political commentaries, but I think that they have a sort of, you know, dark side, and it means that they have a kind of hatred against Christianity, because what globalism really wants is to turn over the Christian world order.
And in March this year, another famous church with a congregation 1,000 people strong was banned. Afterwards, they pledged to hold a prayer meeting in a public square in Beijing. We also went, but the square was simply shut down by authorities. The few brave enough to come here were quietly escorted away. Undercover police officers followed us while we filmed, then approached.
Hi, sir.
Hey, it's not good.
And I think I actually think it's right to say that there is a kind of demonic element in it, because it's really not rational, because we have so many human rights movements, and it's really a mystery why nobody or everybody is really silent about Christians.
Well, okay. Yeah, but the interesting thing, let me go to Peter in London. This UK report highlights that Christians are the most persecuted people in the world, and on a very massive scale. And where a lot of it is happening is in Muslim-dominated countries.
Xu Yonghai has run this underground church in Beijing since 1989. He's been to prison or re-education through labor camps 3 times because of his beliefs. But these are the darkest days he's known, as the Chinese Communist Party stamps down on any version of religion that doesn't acknowledge its supremacy.
The fact of the matter is, Peter, that I think in general terms, it's because there's a widespread ignorance of the scale of the issue. So that's the reality check in this one. This is massive, wide-scale, global persecution of Christians. Now, when you then sort of consider, well, you know, what's causing this?
And it goes on. We must persist. What a true statement. Before you go home and just say, man, the world's over, we're all done, it's all gloom and doom, Jesus promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We're told in the book of Revelation, plus the Gospels, that there will be a true, pure bride, a church has been purified, and a false church that will have the resemblance of it, of Christianity, but it'll be aligned with the state, aligned with the government, aligned with the Antichrist eventually. But there will be the pure church, the triumphant church when Jesus comes. But for the meantime, it is the suffering church. It is the persecuted church, like the Church of Smyrna, like the Church of Philadelphia. It has little strength, but the Lord is with us. And he says, I'll give you an open door, a tremendous open door. Despite the persecution, I believe, as the scripture holds, Jesus wins, no doubt. And if the church holds on to Jesus, they'll win. There's no doubt about it. It's just the trouble before the peace. The trouble before the peace is the hardest thing for us to wrap our head around. It's how does this work out in my life? How does this work out in eternal life? How does this work out, Lord? Well, the Lord has set for us to be alive in the 21st century. and has said for us to be alive now and to be able to proclaim the gospel now. And it's no accident. And that's why you have little strength, but the Lord is with us. Strengthen the things that remain, Jesus said. And I think that's in large part what the church ought to be doing, strengthening things that remain and going out and making more disciples, because the gospel will continue and then the end will come, Jesus promised. So let's pray and ask the Lord for our brothers and sisters in the persecuted world, but also for the church in America that needs really an awakening of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we see the things going on in the world, and it may be fear and uncertainty in our hearts, and even maybe perhaps apathy and not knowing what is going on, and is this really important. But Lord, wake us up. Wake us up. Wake the church up, Lord, and make us aware of what's going on, and make us aware of the first priority we ought to have is obedience to you, getting back to the gospel, getting back to making disciples, and getting back to truth, Lord. Though the church has spent so much time in things that will never bring any eternal life to anyone, let alone change society. Father, I pray that you'd help us, help our brothers and sisters in the persecuted world, and give them courage and give them strength in these difficult days. Give us strength, Lord, and give us courage. We see what's coming. The world's going through it. The rest of the world seems to be going through it. Lord, we ask you for your grace to be able to endure and be able to deal with difficult things. Lord, help us not to be afraid. You told us that we are not to be afraid, but always to trust you, not to lose heart, but we ought to pray. And so, Lord, we are following your word and your commands. Bless our time together, Lord. Keep our love fervent. Keep us united in you. Keep us, Lord, serving one another and serving you. And help us, Lord, by any means, reach this world, reach our community, reach our families with your word and your truth. This we ask in Jesus. Amen.